Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifley Smith, a creative on a mission to make sure that the voices of women are heard. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired. We want to welcome Sadia Jahan Roti on today's episode. She is joining us from Bangladesh. Sadia is an environmental and climate activist. She is the board director of Eco Network Global, which is a youth-led organization. She started climate and environmental activism with Eco Network in 2018 when she first witnessed how climate change has been affecting the lives of coastal regions people of Bangladesh. She is also a climate researcher working at BRAC University. Sadia, welcome. We're so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Sadia, we are thrilled that you're here. And I wonder if you could talk about what sparked this passion for the environment and for protecting the environment.
I started my environmental activism in 2018. I grew up in a very remote area of Dhaka. There used to be a canal beside my house, which was, you know, always dirty, always full of waste. And people used to dump their garbage in that canal because that time people didn't have that awareness that, you know, whenever any waste collector comes, they have to give their waste. So, you know, it used to bother me and it used to hammer my mind that why people are doing it. So in 2018, when I started my university, I chose environmental science discipline. I started my environmental activism at the end of 2018, go on a field trip in a coastal region of Bangladesh. So we were told to do some survey on the local people that how climate change and other natural disaster impacts their life. When we were talking to the local people, they shared their experience that, you know, the frequency of cyclone is increasing day by day, and that's why their economy, their house get destroyed. One of the farmer, I was talking with him, he has been engaged in farming profession for about 18 years. So he told me that in earlier, their agricultural land didn't used to be saline, but right now because of salinity intrusion, so the lands are getting saline, and that's why they are not able to produce crop.
Is it because salt water is covering the ground, and then when it recedes, then whatever crops were being grown there can no longer grow?
Because of salinity intrusion, like sea level is rising and saline water is entering the ground water, and as a result, the groundwater is being saline and also the land. And whenever they are producing any crops or any other agricultural products, they have no other choice but to use that saline water. I was talking with another woman. She told me that their source of drinking water is just one pond. So whenever any cyclone strike in that area, that water is also get saline. In this way, their lives, their economy, their health is also being affected. Women's health is also being impacted. The women in coastal region, they have to remove their uterus. And they're also like adolescent girls, they're also using birth pills to stop their menstruation so that they don't have to use the saline water. So hearing the stories like motivated me, like I should do something for them. I can reach the local voices to the, you know, international level so that their life can be improved in some way. So that's how I'm engaged in climate advocacy.
I'm going to ask one more clarifying question about that in case our listeners don't know what saline pollution is. And it's salt, right? That is then affecting drinking water and any water that is used for irrigation and for crops. Is that correct?
Yes.
Sadia, you mentioned that your activism began in 2018. Could you share just how your upbringing planted the seeds in you that let you know that you can speak up on something if you saw something was wrong?
From my family, my family members are very much aware of recycling any plastic or not wasting water. My mom always tell me to not waste water, not waste the electricity. I think from my mother, this habit kind of grew in me, not to waste anything, and also like planting trees and other environmental activities.
And did your mom encourage you to, or any family encourage you to use your voice to speak up or to be able to do something? Yeah, just anything that perhaps you saw was, you know, needed change?
Actually, not any of my family told me to use my voice. It was, I think, like a group of students from my university decided to use our voice, decided to implement our theoretical knowledge into practical study. So I think that's how we came up to do something for environment.
So you are a young leader and you are the board director of Echo Network Global. So that's a youth-led organization. Talk to us about how you ensure that your voice and the voices of other young people get heard.
Some of us decided to raise our voice through this platform. It is currently based in Bangladesh, but it is like we also work in more than 20 countries. Yes, I would say that our voices are definitely heard. But in my country perspective, I would say that maybe it's not our voice addressed, but when it comes to implement something, I think our voice is not included. If I say about any policy formulation, I think except the National Adaptation Plan, I think no policy involved youth voices. And I think none policy involved the word youth, but in National Adaptation Plan, the government ensured that youth voices are heard and youth activities are also given importance. But when it comes to implementing the activities of the policy, I think there's still a gap. But if I say about any consultation, any workshop, any seminar is organized in our country or worldwide, I think youth voices are ensured that, you know, they are involved in this conversation.
Activism is hard work. I'm sure you can attest to that, right? Because you're often trying to help not just create a narrative, but also shape a narrative and change people's minds about how they view things. So how have you remained encouraged when you do face obstacles or when you feel like your voices are not being clearly heard or included?
So I think activism is something for what you need patience. Mm-hmm. And any society does not change in a day and overnight. So I think whatever you are doing, you have to stay put and you have to continue working for that. So whenever we face any struggle, so we need to keep on mind that we are doing this activism for some change. And until that change happens, we cannot discontinue our advocacy. That's how I am keeping myself motivated and encouraged. I do not know about other country, but in Bangladesh, there is probably two or three organization, youth-led organization that works on environmental issues. But when we started, many other youth in my country started environmental activism. So maybe they were motivated by us or by Greta Thunberg. I think, you know, a social change is a continuous process.
You became an activist in 2018, and it's now been 6 years or almost 6 years. What do you see as being some of the changes that you have personally undergone as you have been on this path of activism?
Many of my people surrounding me started criticism. So that's when I was more patient. I was more committed to this cause. In 2018, I was a bit scared to speak in a public place, but right now I am not. I am now more confident than 2018 and also more patient, more committed.
What helped your confidence grow in this work?
Back in 2022, I joined a meeting. I think that was my first public speaking. So I was invited with all the ambassadors from other countries like USA, Canada, like OECD countries. I was invited as a speaker. After that, the person, the host, who was the ambassador of Switzerland in Bangladesh, right now she's the director of DCAF in Geneva. So she motivated me. She was like a person who was empowering women, was empowering me. So I think when she talked to me, I was more confident to speak in a public place because she always believed in me. Whatever I said that time, she put her confidence in me. So that's how I think I became confident.
That speaks to an important point of just how much we need those kind of people in our lives. Sharon is that for me, for sure. How do you hope to be that for other girls?
Like whenever any girls in my organization works with me, I always try to motivate those women. I always try to involve them in public speaking or any other events where they can find their new identity and they will feel like more confident and improved from before.
Just hearing your story, I noticed that your journey to finding your voice or making sure your voice is heard, as well as, you know, being confident in that voice, it's a journey and it's a process. And so how can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
I think, you know, creating a safe space for women where they feel safe to express themselves without any fear of judgment. I think this could be through any women's support or mentorship programs, which are dedicated to empowerment. And also we can encourage women and girls to express their opinions and thoughts openly. I think that's how we can encourage them.
Sadia, thank you so much. I think being patient with the work of activism, I think, is such an important lesson in this day and age. So thank you so much for committing to the work, but also inspiring so many people to speak up. And so thank you for being with us today. And thank you to our listeners for listening to this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
Thank you for reminding us that it takes time for communities to change and for behaviors to change. That is certainly, I think, an important lesson for all of us to keep in mind as we are advocating for change. As Yodit said, especially grateful to you for the work that you're doing to help change the way we all see our responsibility in taking care of the environment. Thank you, Yodit, always for this partnership that we have in these podcasts. And we send out thanks to Lisa DeJavine, who is the co-producer and editor of the Power of Stories podcast. Thank you so very much.
Thank you also for inviting me.
We invite you, our listeners, to visit sayitforward.org and to share one or more of your stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories others have shared. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino.
And Yodit Kifley-Smith, signing off for now and hoping you'll join us next time. If you enjoyed this episode, we hope you'll recommend The Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.